Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and my guest on this week's program is Thelma Exton. Thelma tells of a life that represents hard work and dedication. Brought up on a farm in the Depression years, she tells of her experiences at school, where she and other children were cruelly punished by one teacher if they gave wrong answers to questions. Her father and mother both worked hard, and Thelma found many of her early years were in fact dedicated to looking after her mother when she felt ill. When she did get to work, she worked hard as well, including working at building fences, being a domestic help for an MP, and a cleaner at a race course. But to tell a story, here's Thelma. Thelma, thank you for welcoming me into your house. And I wonder if we could start with you telling us when you were born and where you were born.
Well, I was born at Yarra Glen in 1913. Yes.
Thelma, what are some of your earliest memories?
Well, I went to Yarra Glen School, and we were living at Dixon's Creek at the time, and my grandfather, he had the post office, and his two daughters used to look after it. That was when it was first born. Then they got married, the two girls, and in the meantime, my father got married, and they lived in the house alongside of Granddad, and Mum took on the post office. Dad, yeah, he used to have a bullock team.
Right.
And they used to cart timber from Tulangi, and they'd go up on a Monday morning and they'd come back Monday night with a load, and then to the Tuesday they'd bring it into Yarra Glen, and they'd unload it there into the trucks.
Oh, okay.
And then the next, they'd go home that day, and the next day they'd go for a load, and on the Wednesday and the Thursday, and that went on for the, you know, for the week. And there used to be, I think there was 27 bullock teams.
Goodness.
In those days, and the Yarra Glen station was very, very busy with more or less sending timber.
Mm.
Yes, it was so, but that was more or less just before I can't remember Dad having bullocks, but he did when I must have been very young.
Yes.
Then Dad rented the property off. He worked the farm like for Granddad, for himself. You know, he was hiring it off, renting it off Granddad.
What did they produce on the farm?
Oh, well, he milk cows, of course,
okay.
And of course it was all by hand.
Yes.
I think I learned to milk when I was about six.
Goodness me.
Oh, heavens, yes. And yes, when I'd come home from school, I'd go and have something to eat, of course, and change my clothes. And then out I'd go and I'd have to get the morning wood to gather the eggs. I'd do all the things for night time, and then take the buckets out. And by that time, Dad'd be there for the cows, and we'd start with milk, and he'd separate, and I'd feed the calves and all the rest of it.
And this is all after having done a day at school?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah.
Goodness me.
And then Mum would have tea ready when we'd go in. And then we used to wash up in a dish on the kitchen table after tea was over, and a tray, and we'd put all the dishes away, and then I'd do my homework and go to bed. I was a very busy girl, I can tell you.
I tell you, yeah. What, and these days you hear the kids complaining about having to do a few jobs.
That's for sure. No, it was... Anyhow, it didn't hurt me, did it?
No, it certainly didn't. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
There's 9.5 years between my sister and I.
And you were the oldest?
And I was the oldest.
Oh, goodness me. That was probably a few too many years to actually have a friendship as sisters or not?
No, it was, because I was no, you know, she was no interest to me when I was, even after I'd left school.
Yes.
You know, and when I was going to dances, she was still
just a kid.
School, you know, yes. Mm. And
did you have many friends your own?
Oh, yes, all of our school, you know, we were all mates, schoolmates and that, you know, it was good.
So assuming that you had time to play with your friends, because it sounded like it was a very busy life, what did you do as a young girl with... in those days?
Well, we used to go to, Dad made us learn play cards very, very early in life, and especially crib, because that was a adding up game, and he reckoned that that was good education for us, which was it was. And we used to have euchre parties and all this sort of thing, you know, and then about once a month we'd have a dance. One lady, she had... two rooms that she could make into one, you know, and we used to have a dance, and I was very keen on singing, and every time we'd have a dance, they'd make me sing, so Dad was, he was a beautiful mouth organist. Oh, he could play beautiful. Anyhow, yes, that we didn't have much, but at school they built a tennis court. And I was very, very keen on the tennis. So, and I had been for years. I've seen after, you know.
Did you enjoy going to school?
Well, with some teachers, yes. With some one we did not. He was very, 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 very cruel. Yes.
Was he ever cruel to you?
Only once. And
did you deserve it, or was it? Was this?
He asked me. He asked us a question, and I answered. I put my hand up, see, and he said, "Yes, what?" I answered, and I was wrong. Come out here. So of course I go out, and I had a long sleeve dress on. You didn't have to wear a uniform in those days, and I had a bangle, and I had it on top, and he said, "Oh, I see your little game," and he pulled the bangle down, and he pulled my sleeve up, and he belted into my arm there, and I go home that night, and I'm crying, my arm sore, that was it. And Dad says, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "Oh, the teacher hit me," and he said, "Oh, you must have deserved it, else you wouldn't have got it." And that was all the sympathy. Oh. That's true.
I bet that was disappointing to you.
Oh, gosh. Oh, we hated him. Absolutely. We all hated him, you know. He used to get hold of the boys by the ears and nearly pull their blooming heads off, you know. Oh, he's a bad-tempered man.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Because these days people say, oh, maybe we should bring back corporal punishment into the schools, but I don't think they realise how cruel it was.
He used to go outside and get a switch off the lucerne trees, and he'd come in and he'd swap around the legs, and oh, he was really, really cruel.
And you got your punishment simply because you got an answer wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not going to encourage you to answer
anymore,
is it?
Well, I was wrong. Nobody had answered. Nobody had...
No.
We weren't going to answer.
Goodness me.
Oh, he was terrible.
Now, you would have been in your early teens when the Depression came. Would that be about right?
We lived very, very, very well. Dad used to kill a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And Mum used to put this into us. No, we had no electricity, no nothing.
Of course not. No running water
there
either.
There was no fridges and no, you know. We had a cool guardy safe. That was the only cooling thing we had, you know.
Did it work well?
Oh, in those days, yes. And then, of course, we had our own chooks, and we had plenty of eggs.
How about fruit and vegetables? How did you get on for that?
We grew our own vegetables and we our own fruit. Then Mum used to send an order down to Crofts or Moran and Cato's, and the chap used to send the cream away. And Mum used to send this big order down to Crofts and that, you know, you get... a case of kerosene, two big tins of kerosene, a whole bag of flour, you know, one of these big bags. Oh, also all of the groceries, one thing or another, you know, that you'd need. Instead of getting 1 pound of this or that, we used to get a dozen pound.
So how did this happen in the Depression? Was this because Dad could sort of trade, or did he get money for other things? I mean, because it was very tough, wasn't it?
Well, he was working on his farm. Then... where Grandad died, and he left us the other farm. So we shifted out there, and Dad worked his own farm then, you know.
And worked hard, by the sound of it.
Oh, he did, you know, and he grew his own feed for the animals and that sort of thing, you know what I mean. But no, we lived very, very, very well, and, you know, in this winter time we'd always kill a pig, Mum would cure it and that, and we'd have bacon, and we had, you know, we really...
So you were one of the very fortunate families.
Oh, we were. We really were, you know.
So you survived the Depression years well.
Oh, yes, yes, but, well, now, I'll tell you what, when Mum took over the post office, and do you know what she used to get a week, a month? £3.10.
For a month's work.
But we only got my hand mail three times a week.
Right.
And we had the phone on, of course, where we had, I think it was three or four subscribers. That was, you know. But so when I left school, I did three parts of the phone and post office. And Mum used to give me the 10 shillings and she had the £3. And we... Yeah.
What age did you leave school?
14. Got my quali and then I got my merit.
Now, to give us some sort of idea of the value of money, what could you do in those days with 10 shillings?
Well, we lived out in the country, out in the bush. I had a pony, and the only time I ever had any... Mum used to be a dressmaker before she got married. So, and we used to get the home journal, and it always had... patterns in it at those days. There'd be photos on the front of the page and the patterns would be inside. And I'd say to Mum, oh, gee, I like that. I like that, I like that, and I like that on that, you know. And she'd do it. She was terrific.
So did you spend your money on any of the materials or things like this?
Oh, but they were so only about a shilling a yard and that sort of thing, you know. Beautiful stuff, you know, really good.
So your 10 shillings went a long way?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes.
So how long did you stay working with Mum in the post office? And when did you get your first job out of the post office?
Well, I didn't get a job, really. Mm-hmm. I only... Mum had very bad health. Terribly bad health, and she used to take turns and all the rest of it, so I had to stay home, and I only went down to my cousin's once. She was having a baby and they asked me could I go down and give her a hand, so it was her second, so I went down, and I was only down there for about a couple of months, I suppose, at the outside, and then they rang up and said I go home because Mum was crook. So and then I was at Whittlesea for about a couple of months, worked at the Coffee Palace over there. And that's the only time so I went to work because Mum was always so crook.
And you had to look after her.
So I had to look after her. Right. And then she had a very big operation in, I can't think of the name of the hospital now, but she was 9 days and was no hope for her. But anyhow, she pulled through eventually. And she came home, and by this time, Alma was getting a bit older, you know, by this time. And anyhow, I got married. I was 24 and a half the day I got married.
I was going to say, first of all, how old were you when you were looking after Mum? So you must have been in your 20s.
Oh, yes, yes. Right. Like teenage.
Yeah. Up to 20. So if you were that busy on the farm looking after Mum, how did you even meet your husband-to-be?
Well, my cousin came down from Yay. He lived over Murray India near Yay. And he came one night and he said, any dances about? And I said, I don't think there's any on tonight. And anyhow, he rang up a few and he found out there was one at King Lake. So anyhow, we went up to this bloomin' dance and that's where I met him, having to dance.
And what was his name?
Les Exton.
Les, right. And I guess he was a very handsome young man then.
He was, yeah.
And what was Les doing when you met him? What was his line of work?
His father was the Exton King, growing potatoes. Well, they used it in the first place, they had raspberries. He was the raspberry king, they called him. And then he took on the potatoes.
How long did Les court you for?
Oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 years or something like that. He used to come down and just stay at home the weekends, you know. And we used to go out then to dances, one thing and another. Then we got married and lived at King Lake, and we put up a new house. They wasn't ours. It was like, it was a family turnout, you know. It was about 4 boys. And Les did all the buying of the horses and looking after the horses. He was mad on the horses, you know. He did all the, there's a photo of him up there with the 6 horses with a plough.
Goodness me, that's just like out of a history book.
And he'd spend hours there of a night time. He'd go over and he'd wash them down and you know. He'd get home about 10 o'clock nearly every night, you know, at the time. He didn't even have his tea. And
Now, this must have been around about 1940, all of this happening, wouldn't it?
I was married in 37.
37. So did Les get called up for the war?
Yes, and he went down. And they said, what did he do? And when he said that they grew potatoes and peas, they grew a lot of peas as well, and they said, well, that's what we need. He says, we've got to have that at home. They wouldn't let me have him.
So he was considered as an essential service.
Yeah.
Was he disappointed or just took it in his stride?
No, he just took it in his stride and he wasn't allowed to go, and that was all about it.
How did you feel?
Oh, well, I was pleased too, you know.
Of course.
Listen to Older Voices, Living History.
I had 2 daughters, and then I had a son, who died in hospital only a few days old.
That must have been devastating for you.
It was terrible. Being a son, too,
being
after
the son,
two
of
girls.
Of course, indeed. And Les must have been very upset about that, too. Yes.
So then I had a girl.
Three girls.
Yes, I had 3 girls then. And he started fencing. And he's a terrific fencer. He just sort of more or less learned himself, you know. And he was in great demand. So that's what we did. And he used to bring the droppers home and put them in the shed. And I used to bore the holes in the droppers. Oh, I didn't mind doing it. I rather liked it, you know. And then he'd put them all in the truck the next day and away they'd go to work. And if I had a day off, I'd go out and put the droppers on the fence.
Goodness.
Line.
That was your day off?
Yeah.
And you're bringing 3 daughters up?
Well, I went, a lady rang me one day and she said, this was the first job I really had, and she said, I believe your daughter's left school, and she was having a baby, and she said, I want somebody to come and help me when I come home, you know. Mm-hmm. And we talked on, I knew her because I'd been playing tennis with her before, you know. Anyhow, the more she talked, the more I thought, why can't I go? So I did. And anyhow, when Les came home that night, I said, I've got myself a job. And he went and hit the roof. And he said, what do people say? I can't keep you, you know. That was
And that really was the attitude in the day, wasn't it? That the men worked and women stayed at home.
Yeah, yeah. So anyhow, I started up. When she came home, she let me know. So I went up and I used to go, nearly every day for her. I do all the housework and that for her. And a lovely person. They were a lovely family. Anyhow, it wasn't long after I went up there, he decided to go into Parliament. So he got into Parliament.
Goodness me.
And his name was Basie Horton. He was the nicest man you'd ever, ever, ever meet. Then I got another job. I was working at the racecourse. Another girl, lady and I, we used to go and clean, get ready for the races or the trots. And it used to take us 2 days to do all the buildings.
Goodness.
Oh, yes, it was a big job. We had all the toilets to do and the bar. and the president's room and the secretary's room and the jockey's room. And oh, it was a big job, really was. We were 2 days doing it, and then the next day they'd have races or trots, and we'd work for the caterer. And then the next day we'd go and clean up the mess afterwards. We did that for 13 years.
13?
Mm.
That's amazing staying power.
Yeah. Yes, and then we gave it away. And then we went for a trip to New Zealand. The two of us. The two of us.
Oh, you obviously enjoyed that journey, though. Was that the first time out of Australia?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, it was very, very, very good. I went to race course one day, and I came home, and he said he was going to go to the market, to Croydon Market, and get a couple of calves to put in the paddock down here. And anyhow, I came home, and he was in bed. And I went in, I said, "What's up?" And he said, I didn't buy any cars or anything. And he said, I'd ended up at the doctor's. And I was, anyhow, turned out, he said, they told me to come home and go and see my doctor tomorrow. So he said, I've got to go tomorrow. And I said, all right. So anyhow, we went over and saw the doctor the next day. And he said, he says, you've had a slight stroke. So that was the first.
Mm.
So then he had two more. And then he was scared that he was, you know, this was going to happen. And so he made me go and learn how to drive a car.
This sounds like an adventure coming up here.
Oh, God. Oh, to go and, you know, learn everything. And, oh, I hated it. But anyhow.
You got your license?
I got my license. First go, too. And anyhow, but I never drove. He'd always drive, and I'd go to work with him and that in the thing. But he'd never say, you drive,
what a shame.
You know.
What a shame.
And I was happy to be driven. This day, he was laying down, and I went in, I sat in the bed there, talked to him, and I said, God, it's 5 o'clock. I said, I better go and see about some tea. And I said, what do you want for tea? And he said, he loves steak. He eats steak all the time. So I lit the stove, and he started screaming. Can't you help me? Was Simon carrying on. And I had the phone in the lounge room there, and he was right up in the top bedroom. And anyhow, I thought, oh, Jeff had only just become engaged. And I thought, oh, ring Jeff. So I rang him.
Sorry, who's Jeff?
My son. That was me.
Oh,
my son.
Right, your son, yes.
The doctor said, take him to, get the ambulance and take him to Box Hill. And I'll meet you there. So anyhow, that's what happened. And got him into hospital. We went down and saw him the next day, and the doctor said, well, he's had a violent stroke and he'll never talk again.
It must have been very emotionally draining.
It was. It was terrible.
Hmm.
And anyhow, they were talking about sending him home, and I thought, oh God, I couldn't manage him. I wouldn't have, because he's a big chap, and I was scared stiff. Anyhow, it was our wedding anniversary, and the girls, they came up and got me. I went down to the hospital, and they come and picked me up and him and took me down. And oh, we had a terrible time. He shouldn't have gone. My daughter, she said, there's no way you could manage him, Mum. And I said, no. And she said, no, I'm going in to see him too. So anyhow, we brought him back into they said that we'd have to get a nursing home for him.
Yeah.
But he was there 5 years. And I had traipsed over to Bronya twice a week, I'd walk from here down to the station at that time.
There was, which is a fair train, walk.
Down to the station. Mm. And then I used to go to Ringwood, catch a train up to Boronia, and then I had to walk back this way about 2 miles.
It wasn't easy.
It was not easy. No. And I did that Tuesdays and Thursdays each week.
Well, I think that's probably a good place for us to finish, Thelma. And I must say, I think that's a remarkable example of dedication. And it would be very remiss of me not to thank you for inviting me not just into your house, but into your rather remarkable life. Thank you.
I don't know. I've enjoyed it, really. It's good to talk about these old things.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.